Blog Talk Radio.
Division.
leaving us without fighting for answers and keeping us from spreading the message when we need to unite, fight, and use our sisterhood to create bonds and safe havens in the hood. For if and when the enemy strikes again, we're prepared to help another sister friend. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome live on Tribe Family Channel, Women and Men of Honor Radio, moderated by yours truly, Beverly Black. My guest speaker this evening is the CEO of Baruti Enterprises, LaRonda Crosby Johnson, honoring her beloved mother in heaven who lost her battle to breast cancer, leaving LaRonda primarily responsible for raising her younger sister. Call in at 563-999-3731 and press 1 if you have a question. We will open up the phone lines about 45 minutes of. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. And we have a special announcement about Gumbo for the Soul, Women of Honor, our second in the Honors series. LaRonda Crosby Johnson, a graduate of San Francisco State University, was born and raised in Oakland, California. The oldest of two children, LaRonda demonstrated her innate leadership abilities at an early age. LaRonda's passion for education and community services found its place in the social work department. Despite fond childhood memories and being surrounded by a loving, encouraging, and supportive family, LaRonda's days were not free of pain or tragedy. Losing her mother to breast cancer left LaRonda primarily responsible for raising her younger sister. Barely 17 years old, LaRonda remained at the top of her high school class, found time to meet the responsibilities of her church youth program, all while nurturing and supporting her sister. Barely 4 years later, LaRonda would lose two more loved ones, an older cousin who was more like a big sister, and her favorite grandmother. When asked how she made it through these times, LaRonda credits her faith, the love of a powerfully supportive extended family, and inner strength. You are live on Men and Women of Honor via Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International Family Brand. Good evening, Sister LaRonda Crosby Johnson. How are you?
Hey, Beverly. I'm great. How are you? Thanks for that intro.
Hey, Queen. I tip my hat to you. I tip my crown to you, actually.
Appreciate your intro
and your strength speaks for itself. So you are definitely walking in the power of having made a way out of extenuating times with the vicissitudes of life knocking at your heels at such a young age. So tell us where you would like to start in conveying to our listening audience your story.
You know, I was listening to that intro and it just brought back so much. And now on the, you know, way on the other side of that, I'm 61 years old now. And hearing what occurred when I was 17, I was like, wow, you know, thank God. So I guess I could start just a little bit about my mom. So maybe let's start there because, you know, she was more than breast cancer. She was more than her passing and was an amazing woman who in a lot of ways was before her time. So I grew up with my mom, a younger sister, and my father was in the military, so he was in the Navy. So he kind of came in on a ship and stayed a few days or a couple of months, and then he went back out on a ship and stayed, you know, for years. So he wasn't in the home with us full time until I was around 10 or 11 years old. So, and was an only child for almost 5 years before my younger sister came. So it was just me and mama, you know, and she was what now we would call an intentional and conscious parent. So she was intentional about her parenting. She poured into us on purpose, always letting us know about our worth. And so I grew up in this, you know, really nurturing home where I was seen and valued and knew that I had, you know, an opinion that was valid. And, you know, I'm a little black girl. And so that was not always the way it went in our communities, that whole seen and not heard thing. Well, that didn't go in my mama's house, because she was like, no, my baby is worthy and she got something to say and you going to let her say it, you know. And so, you know, I look at that now and I think, wow, that was pretty revolutionary for that time, right? And certainly it was not, you know, something that many of her peers were doing with their children. So, you know, I grew up with a really strong sense of myself and my abilities. And, you know, I had amazing aunts and a beautiful godmother. And, I mean, so I grew up feeling pretty good about LaRonda, you know.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, recognizing, and I look at that now, and now having parented myself, what my mom was able to do in that short amount of time, because I had her for literally, you know, 17 years. She passed a month after I turned 17. So what she was able to do in that short amount of time was prepare me for the world. And I look back now, and I'm just so grateful and so thankful for that. You know, who knew that that was going to happen? I didn't know, you know. And so, but I think about it now, and I think, but God always knows. And so he knew how to order all of that for me. He knew how to order all that for me.
Amen, amen. And truly, your dearly beloved mom could not have known, but what she followed, the directives that she followed, the innateness to make sure that her daughter's voices are known and that, you know, you are valued, that you feel valued, nurtured, loved. And you, of course, we all know the colloquialism, children are to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
And that was not in our home either. Not only were we to be seen, we were to be heard, we were to be well read, we were to have proper command of the English language, we were free to play and be children, we weren't violated, we were validated, and we had uncles, aunts, cousins, playmates. We could stay outside until the streetlight came on. I mean,
that's so
you know,
true.
We're both Bay Area people, so
that's what it was, right?
Bay Area.
That's exactly what it was.
And there's a certain strength that our queens demonstrated, unknowing that. You know, we don't know the day, the time, or the hour, and so none of us can ever say, you know, well, our parents knew to prepare us in this manner or in this manner. But thank goodness, or thank God, really, that they had the sense of mind to, like you said, your mother poured into you and nurtured you, and for 17 years, who would have known? And so through what was poured into you, this is the foundation for you to exemplify from 17 years old and on after, you know, your mother's passing. Now, how young was your dear mother when she passed, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, no problem at all. My mother was 53. She was, you know, had children a little later in life than some of her peers. So she was 36 when I was born. And when my sister was born, she was 41, almost 42. And, so she was 53 years old when she passed.
You know, my mother had me at 35.
Oh,
and,
look at this.
No, she was born on 35 that year. And
okay.
I had my last child at 35. Well, I was going on 35 when I had my last child. She was born 13 days before my birthday on my dear sister's birthday, who is now in heaven. That was her gift from me that day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Especially when you have to come get your nephew and keep him, and you just had a baby 9 weeks earlier, but I digress. So, you know, we really honor the women who have shaped us. And you mentioned that not only did your mother pass on, but you had an older cousin that was more like a big sister and your
mm-hmm.
favorite grandmother. So we really
mm-hmm.
honor the women and the queens whose legacy that you carry and whose torch continues to shine because of the light in LaRonda Crosby Johnson. So tell us
about
that
way.
Amen. Well, tell
yeah,
us
I feel,
about
I
their
feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I totally feel that way. I feel so fortunate that, you know, I had all these amazing women in my life. And even as a child, I knew those women were special. And I remember, you know, as a kid wishing that all the other kids could have what I had.
Wow. Wow,
yeah,
that's deep.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my, they should have what I have, because I was aware of just how amazing these women were, and I saw these women, you know, working together and supporting each other. My mom was an only child, but my dad had, you know, siblings, and so there were always cousins and aunts and uncles around, and I watched these black women come together and raise this village, you know, and it's amazing. I'm, you know, to this day, you know, my village is everything.
My mom was an only child. My father had siblings. And
oh,
every
come on,
time
now, we
I
just
come
keep
together,
racking up. We should have been keeping a list of like all our similarities.
You know what? We will have
wow.
to come together and do a powwow sister
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Event and really have that time where we bring together the sisterhood, because we're more alike than we are different, and
absolutely.
It's not just LaRonda and Beverly. It
That's
is
right.
all of us.
All
we
of
have
us.
To be
That's
more
right.
embracing of each other.
Yes.
Now, I would like to shout out to not only my mother, but my sister and my spirit sister, Sarah Rachel Berry, who, had it not been for her and what she poured into me, I would not be on the radio.
Mm.
I wanted my own radio show when she contacted me about being interviewed on hers. From that initial contact, we never stopped talking. We didn't know each other before then, and we would remain on the phone every day supporting each other for a couple of years in. She kicked me off of her platform and made me establish the platform that we are now on today. Rachel Berry Gaines went home January 9th, 2013. And I also want to recognize my own birth sister, Anita Wilbon. God called her home March 2nd, 2013. So the year of 2013, I had a double whammy
yeah.
in the first trimester, and I went off of the air until later that year. And when we came back, I came back with a gentleman for the radio show host, and I came back with one show called Voices of Wisdom. Voices of Wisdom was created to keep the voice and legacy of Sarah Rachel Berry alive and lit. So I thank all of my sisters, my queens, who made it possible for me to be here, the examples that were exemplified by my mother and my sister, who was an at-home entrepreneur, is just phenomenal. My mother had a library of books at home, and she just was an avid reader. Although she liked the suspense and the romance and the, you know, crime thrillers. And, of course, I'm nonfiction. I can't do it. Okay.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I'm strictly nonfiction. But I will tell you, who changed my mind about embracing fiction and the fact that art mirrors the life. And so when you come across a good read of fiction, you can actually learn and gain a lot of insight from that work of fiction because art mirrors life. And again, I attribute that to my spirit sister, Sarah Rachel Berry, the author of Family Pictures, Jealousy, Lies, and Secrets, available on Amazon.com. Now, that is one of the shout-outs that I want to have that moment of, but I want to return back to our guest and immediately following this next question, I am going to let you all know what is the deal with men and women of honor in the second series from the Gumbo for the Soul series anthologies through Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So, LaRonda Crosby Johnson, I would like to know more about the influence of the older cousin who was like a big sister and your favorite grandmother because queens that have poured into us that have made a difference, like, you know, my big sister, you know, home office, entrepreneur, my mother, avid reader, my grandmother, her Southern socialization, and why I am who I am today. I'm just, you know, I'm down to earth. I'm straight up, you know, I'm like Malcolm X, make it plain. Okay, no beating around the bush. Get right,
right
on to it. You know, and that's that, you know, Louisiana socialization from my maternal side, but my paternal side is from Texas. So my mentor and minister, who is 85 years young, the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Joseph Jackson Jr., he pointed out to me, it's my Southern roots. So tell us about LaRonda's roots.
Wow, that's just phenomenal. So my mom's side of the family was, you know, part of the Great Migration. They came out of Arkansas, a small town called Warren. My dad's family was actually from Wenatchee, Washington. And, you know, they met here in Oakland, California. But the, you know, two of the many people that, you know, I've lost one way or the other in my family were my oldest cousin, Denise, we called her Denny, and my grandmother, my father's mom. And they died, was it like 4 months apart? So when you mentioned that double whammy of your spirit sister and then your actual biological sister in 2013, I thought that's how it often happens. And, you know, it really leaves us spinning, you know. So that was such a huge loss just, you know, 4 years after my mom. So my mom died in 78 in January. And then my cousin Denise, who was, you know, cousin, my cousin's sister, you know, I would think of her that way because being the oldest, you know, I was the oldest in my house. And so, you know, the oldest is the one with a little bit more responsibility and is expected to, you know, behave a little less crazy maybe than the younger siblings. And so I didn't get to do some of the things that I might have done had I not been the oldest. But I wasn't the oldest cousin. I had older cousins. So I could be sort of that little girl, that kind of playful a little bit more with her. And, you know, what's interesting is I think that, you know, we come here with our purpose already inside of us. And so even though I had many cousins older than me, to this day, many of them still say, but, you know, I know I'm the oldest cousin, but you the big cousin for real because you, you know, I come to you. So, you know, she and I had a very, very close relationship growing up, and she was actually murdered the day after my 21st birthday. And then
Lord,
my grandmother,
I'm sorry to
yeah,
hear that.
Yeah. And my grandmother, she was still living in Washington, in Seattle. That's where they settled when they left Wenatchee. But she was just always that woman who would talk to you and talk to you real. Not like you were a little kid. There was never any talking down. She, when you mentioned, you know, Malcolm X, just make it plain, that was grand. She wasn't sugarcoating anything. She was going to listen to what you said, and she was going to, you know, share her wisdom in a way that, you know, might be considered raw. I always think about my maternal grandmother being a little bit more, what would you call it? Like, she was not the one who would have these conversations about life and politics and sex and all of that with her granddaughter. But my grand, oh, we would talk about everything. So, you know, she had my back all the time. You know, this was the day before, you know, cell phones and FaceTime and all that. So I wrote letters to my cousins and my aunts that didn't live in the Bay Area. So my grandmother and I, you know, I have letters in my drawer now that my grandmother, you know, wrote. And so we would write, you know, letters to each other. Yeah, I have some of those letters that actually, when she passed, one of my aunts found them. And she was like, oh, I know you would love to have these. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. Grand kept those letters, you know, when I was like 8, 9 years old, you know. So she was just that person that you could talk to. And then also the other thing that, you know, she will always have a special place in my heart, because when my mother passed, because I had been, you know, the oldest, and I was the kid that you really didn't have to worry too much about. LaRonda gonna handle her business, and that's just what it is. And so, you know, growing up like an only child there with my mom for so many years, I was very self-sufficient, right? Mm-hmm. And so when my mom passed, because my sister was younger, you know, makes sense, a lot of the attention and comfort went to her. And I was sort of left to my own devices in terms of dealing with that big old thing. But my gran was the first adult who asked me how I was and how I was feeling. And I will never forget her for that, because no one else was asking that question. They were all, LaRonda will be fine. You know, let's focus here. And but my gran knew me in a way that maybe they didn't, or saw me in a way that maybe they didn't.
Now, let me just let you know, be careful what you add on to your sentences, because I will bust out laughing, okay, when you said let's focus here. Okay, now don't do that to me, okay? You know, that's not fair. Let's focus here. She going to add that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, this profound CEO of Baruchi Enterprises, LaRonda Crosby Johnson, Men and Women of Honor Radio, and she is talking about the matriarchs who poured into her, and our similarities are just phenomenal. So here we go again. I don't even know. We may be related. I'm not.
I know. Sure. I was just thinking that. I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to have to start digging up some family trees or something, because there's too many similarities.
Well, here comes another similarity on the paternal side, excuse me. On the paternal side of my family tree, my paternal grandmother and great aunt, cousins are from and remain in Seattle, Washington.
Get out of here.
So,
okay.
I wish I could get out of here. So if you ever heard of the restaurants, Maxi Two's, those were my cousins, and Congresswoman Peggy Maxi, that's my cousin. She's in Seattle.
Wow.
She was in Congress for, I think, 7 years. So here is what is so phenomenal about what you were just saying. You know, because I'm, you know, deeply involved with our Black History Studies, and because of my mentor and my own interest as a child. But you mentioned that your, you know, your mother's side is from the South and your father's side is from the North. And that's, if that's not a North meets South moment of two different socializations coming together. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's always been totally phenomenal to me because, you know, there wasn't always a story of blacks in the North even being told, but that was who I was. So I always knew, you know, that was all the black people weren't in the South. The majority of them were, yes, but his mom left Tennessee and ended up in Wenatchee, Washington with her family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they met here, you know, at the naval base in Oakland, in Alameda, actually, and that's where they met. But my mom came to Oakland right before her senior year in high school. My grandmother had come ahead, which was, you know, sort of the norm. Somebody's going to go out, get things set up. And settled in West Oakland. My mom ended up graduating from McClyman's High School and, you know, went on then to work at the Alameda Naval Base. And then, you know, several years later, you know, in comes a sailor on a boat. And that ended up being my dad, you know. But I always thought about the blending of those two cultures. And I watched them experience those cultures together because the upbringing was very different. The ideas and attitudes were very different. So I got a chance to, like, see the whole world in my house.
See, I knew there was something very, very interesting behind that. Well, okay, before my announcement about Gumbel for the Soul Publications, let me just also say that my father, here we go again, LaRonda and Beverly.
Are we sisters, Beverly? Are you the big sister I never knew about?
No, I'm actually the baby.
You the baby because I'm older than you, that's right.
Actually, no, I'm older than you. I'm 63.
Are you older than me?
But
oh, okay.
I'm
63. Okay.
But I'm the baby in the lineup of my family. So with you being the oldest in the lineup of your family, the dynamics are really the polar opposite as well, right? But my father used to live in Alameda on Pogey Avenue, which is right around the corner from the Naval Base.
Yeah.
There's an elementary school right there, and I used to love to listen to the children playing outside in the play yard because it's like all this screaming and yelling and laughing all blended in together, right? But then down the street, remember Alameda College down the street before you leave out of Alameda to go to Oakland?
Yep.
I met Abby Lincoln at that college, and
oh
I didn't really know the measure of who – whose company I was in at that point. She talked to me for a bit. She autographed my children's book that was on a typewritten manuscript at the time. She explained to me she had been to the motherland and they had bestowed upon her additional names. So she was now Abby Lincoln Amanato Moseka. And so when I first published, I was, or when I first started my writing ventures, I think God had it in my destiny to be before greatness, such as people, such as my guest this evening, live on Tribe Family Channel, LaRonda Crosby Johnson. I am Beverly Black, and we are live on Men and Women of Honor Radio. Here is the deal with Gumbel for the Soul Publications, Men and Women of Honor, the Series 2 in both anthologies. Since our 20th anniversary of Gumbel for the Soul Publications is at hand, as we were established in 2003, we are extending the publication deadline through November. All of our books are dropping in December. We are not putting out a new call for submissions. What I would like to do is bring everyone to this platform and ask you to let everyone know that not only do we need your support in revealing that we have health issues and crises that we need to address. As I came in on this show, I wrote that poem about quiet soldiers, because my mother back in the 80s was a quiet soldier in her breast cancer battle, because there weren't any services. There was no Susan G. Coleman. There was no Sisters Network, Inc. out of, the National Black Women's Health Organization. All there was the breast removal surgery. There wasn't even reconstructive surgery where they remove anything having to do with a non-malignant mass and keeping and preserving a woman's beauty in her breast. Well, of course, we don't want the breast over our life if the breast has to go, but these weren't the type of services available. And let's not even talk about the disparaging health ramifications that Black women encounter in the health organizational structure. Period. If you are blessed to be a Black woman and receive optimum care, you are a blessed woman, and that's another story. So please tell your sisters and everyone within the sound of my voice, I need your submissions. We're not just focusing on breast cancer, cervical cancer. We need poems. We need essays. We need men to speak up. I gave one of my books, or our books, Gumbo for the Soul, Men of Honor, in July to Dr. Otis Williams of The Temptations. And I flipped right to the back of the book where what? There is an illustration of a penis that is illustrating and telling you to check your scrotum in the shower, and boys should be checking this in junior high school. You're not going to hear this. Because what? They're not focusing on your health in the education realm anymore. We used to take homemaking. We used to take wood shop. We used to have certain tests when we dressed out in PE, scoliosis for our back. And there was concerns for sex education, or when a woman, a girl goes from puberty to womanhood starting her period. We are up against everything because the health industry has to be us. The medical industry is pushing what? They're pushing pills. They're pushing different treatments that actually extend the sickness. You don't hear the Food and Drug Administration say we're dropping off a box of fresh fruit and groceries during COVID. We have to be responsible for our own health, and I am sick of begging people to tell their stories and stop being silent. So whoever submissions that I have, and I'm sorry to rant, but this is about our health. I am an advocate. I've been at this since 2003, and I won't stop. I lost my mother. I lost my father. I lost two sisters. Listen, I lost my brother. So I've lost sisters and sister friends, and just like you, LaRonda, people that were distant from that immediate family tree, but nonetheless, they made such an impact on our life that it is why we turned out to be who we are today. So I have to advocate. I cannot let their voices go silent, nor will I let my dear sister, Sarah Rachel Berry, who got me on the radio. I wouldn't be in the sound of anybody's voices had it not been for that sister. And she went home in 2013, and you think now that it's going on 2023, 10 years later, that I'm still not going to sound out her message and her voice? I sure am. And she always reminded us to have a rich day. Rich meaning rewarding, inspiring, cherished, and healthy. So please get your submissions in that focus on the stories of the men and women who have made a difference in your lives, and those who have possibly encountered any of the vicissitudes of which we have spoken of, dealing with cancer or any other element. Last but not least, I do want to thank Dr. Yvonne Sion, Dave Chappelle's mother, for the forward to the Woman of Honor second edition in the series. I will be combining Men of Honor and Women of Honor into our 20th anniversary anthology and would love to have you in it. So please go out, tell mama and them. You got time. Let's get it in. The compilations are being put together as we speak. I will no longer be on the radio come October 22nd. We've got to get this message out. People have been waiting. Thank you for the supporters, those who have submitted, those who have sponsored ads. If you haven't got your ad in, GumboForTheSoulInternational.com, GumboForTheSoulInternational@gmail.com, $50 ads. I think the sponsorships where your picture can be in there is about $175. And then, of course, poetry, essays, your testimony, and it doesn't cost you anything to submit for consideration, for publishing consideration. So thank you once again, and this song is going to go out to all of you who may have experienced a loss of a loved one, and we'll be right back after this message.
Keep it real, oh, woman.
For the Soul International Family Brand. Now, I know for a fact that there are some brothers and sisters that are out there hurting. I used to be one of the sisters whose heart was broke. Like you said, LaRonda, shook because two of my sisters went home 3 months apart from each other, and my world was shook. But let me tell you something. When my mother went home in 2007, my world had never been so hurt. And the tribulations that the family dynamics were going through were unbelievable. The dynamics of sibling rivalry, this, that, and the third, you know, things that seem to happen when people pass on, families just can't get themselves together and on the same page to save their own lives, even in the midst of the passing of a loved one. But like Wounded Heart, be healed so you can love again. And I'm not the singer of the family, but I bet you I'm loving again, and I'm not hurt anymore. I'm back on this radio, y'all, and I can lift up Sarah Rachel Berry's voice once again, and I can walk in the strength that my mother instilled and poured down inside of me, like my guest LaRonda talked about the queens having poured down inside of her. So Sister LaRonda Crosby Johnson, back to you. I know that you are a CEO. You have a lot of things going on. So tell us some of the things that a person can get by way of visiting your website and tapping into the coaching side of you, the side of you that would build up someone like, you know, the person that God destined you to be, starting from 17 years old, raising your sister. And now here you are, a life coach and a CEO and author. You're doing your thing. I'm waiting for you to start your own radio show so I can send people your way. You know, all you got to do is say you're doing it. I got you. But how can everyone reach you? And what would you be able to offer those so that they can walk in their strength and their healing?
Beverly, I love you so much, and you have said that to
I
me before, and trust me when I say I'm receiving it all. You know, everything happens in the time it's supposed to happen, and so I love that encouragement and support from you as well. But before I share where folks can reach me, I just want to say how events of loss shape us just as well, and sometimes in a stronger way than sometimes those events that are pleasant. Once my mother died of breast cancer, it became one of my missions to make sure that that number of women that died from breast cancer every year began to decrease, that no little girl would have to cry in the dark in her room at night because her mama was gone. And so I immediately started to, you know, research information. When I graduated from San Francisco State, I went into reproductive health care. That was where I started and was the sex education teacher. When you mentioned that about our children's health being ignored in schools now for many a year, that's who I was. I was a health educator, and I became a certified
wow.
self-breast exam educator, so I could teach other folks how to do their self-breast exams, how to teach their patients how to do breast exams. I started over, gosh, it's probably been about 25 years now. Each year I hike with an organization here in the Bay Area, Breast Cancer Prevention Partners, and we do a hike every year to raise money for breast cancer prevention. And they're the only organization in the country that does prevention versus intervention. So, you know, those things shape us too. But as a life coach, I'm so much more, you know, all through my life I've been cognizant of the fact that the experiences that I went through and the way that I came through them wasn't just for me. It was so that I could be there for somebody else. You know, that was also sort of a tenet of our family. It's like, it's not good enough for you to succeed. You need to be bringing some folk with you, right? And so you know, people can get information about life coaching services at BarutiEnterprises.com. My writing information, you can follow me on Twitter at LaRonda's Books. But I work with folks who are often at a crossroads. And, you know, I've said sometimes that every now and then I've questioned, you know, God. It's like my entire career has been often meeting people at their worst. Right? I didn't have jobs that were happy. I worked in, you know, reproductive health care. I worked around teen pregnancy and violence prevention. When my cousin was murdered, I began to add domestic violence education to my sex ed workshops because they were so interconnected, and went on to speak at conferences about, you know, intimate partner violence and do trainings and all of that. So I thought, man, you know, some people have, like, happy jobs where, you know, they meet people and the people are happy. And it seems like my jobs have always been, you know, meeting people in their darkest times. But I've been so grateful that I've been able to support folks through that, you know, because none of us do this thing by ourselves. And I was fortunate enough, even with, you know, all that was going on in my life, to always have somebody who was there for me. Like, I never felt alone. I knew I could make a phone call and somebody would come for me. So I think that that sort of undergirded much of the work that I've gone on to do, you know, since then.
Well, I certainly would like to also reiterate that you had so much poured into you.
Yes.
From the Genesis, in the beginning, with all of the nurturing that, listen, your destiny requiring this pouring out of yourself from which your oil flows to help with the healing, the development, and the furtherance of others who are at a crossroads. And I think that the work you're doing is phenomenal. Please do me a favor. Yes, you're welcome. Do me a favor. Please consider writing up what you're doing in our book so people can also have access to what you're doing. We will be releasing December 2022 so that we're starting off the year. Happy to have made it 20 years. Gumbo for the Soul Publications, 2003 to 2022. 23. So we're going to make this our anniversary issue. And I'm just thankful that those who have contributed are there, still supportive. It's been a long time coming. We had pause for COVID. We had people just, you know, promising that they wanted to tell their stories, but the vicissitudes of life does show up, and it's hard sometimes to press through things that's going on. People get writer's block. People don't want to be transparent. My mother was a quiet soldier, so now I'm her voice. I want people to be aware that there are tests that you can, speaking of prevention, LaRonda, there are tests for women that you can take to ensure, blood tests, to ensure that you do not have the genetic makeup for breast cancer, and that test is called the BRCA. There's a BRCA1 and a BRCA2 cancer risk and genetic testing. And you can go to cancer.gov and just put in cancer risk and genetic testing. Going back to the disparaging health resistance to giving and providing Black women with optimum health care, I had to demand this test, ladies and gentlemen. So we are our own voice, and we have to use it. We have to speak up, okay? They're not trying to save us. And
absolutely,
I salute you, LaRonda, for the work that you're doing in reproductive health. We need more medullas. We need organizations and a network that ensures that our babies have the prenatal care that they need, and the mothers that are pregnant are getting the services that they deserve. And we have to depend on ourselves for that. So the BRCA test that I received, I had to insist upon it. And while
my
doctor
must
was sitting there, I had to insist. And,
you,
you know, he was trying to give me the parameters of whether my mother had cancer before 45 or whether it was before 40. You know, and we bounced back and forth sparking swords, because all the while he was trying to get to a no, I was preventing him from reaching a no, because I'm not taking no for an answer.
Absolutely.
He even talked about the cost. I am paying for this health insurance. I, through my employer, am being deducted a monthly premium, so it's about time we spend this money on me. And I refused, and they had to give me that blood test. That blood test ruled out. It ruled out the genetic genes for my daughters, but not my sisters. So what I'm saying is, as advocates for our own health, ladies and gentlemen, we have to insist on these services and the quality of the services that we are receiving. And self-care. Self-awareness. Breast cancer prevention starts at home, and we must do our own self-checkup. So, LaRonda, thank you for your advocacy. I am an advocate, and I encourage the self-examinations very early on, which is to say right after a woman starts her period. She should be doing her self-breath exams. This gives you a baseline to what your breaths are like, so that you know if any changes occur. You do this once a month in the shower. Raise your left arm up, take your right hand, and go around your breath. Go around the outer perimeter, go around the inner perimeter. Raise your right hand up, take your left hand, same thing. Go online, look for charts and graphs, ask your doctor or your gynecologist for preventive care recommendations and resources. But take care, take self-care.
Medicine is just that. It's medicine. It's for after you're sick. We have to take care of ourselves, and we have to do a better job at it. So I'm hoping that you're encouraged, that you will submit to Men and Women of Honor, our second in the series. We need your stories. We got to hold up each other up. Come on, y'all. Submit to GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com your stories. And LaRonda, thank you so much for your advocacy. Tag me on everything you are doing so that I can share and become a part of that. And thank you so much for being here with us on Men and Women of Honor Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for this opportunity and chance to honor my mom and the other great women in my life. And to your audience, just y'all take care of yourself. We all we got.
That's right. That's right, sister. We'll be in touch soon. Thank you, and God bless.
Take care. You too, Beverly. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And thank you so much to my mother and the matriarchs and the women who raised me. My mother was born September 19th in 1926, and she went home to be with the Lord July 12th, 2007. I love you, Mama. You were a quiet, resilient soldier, and you imparted your strength in me. Also, my grandmother, Selena Davis Cargill, a woman of honor, the roots from which I started. You introduced God to me in my life, had me on my knees early. I don't know what we're talking about, but we're talking to somebody. Well, I know now, and it's the God we serve. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Have an amazing week. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so be sure to be aware.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfills my needs. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. Are our future. Teach them well. give them a sense of pride. You make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all was happening to me. That special friend.